Hey mama, do you find yourself wishing you knew you were on the right path with your business or wanting to know how to do it all as a work-at-home mom and entrepreneur? If you struggle with imposter syndrome, mom guilt, or fear of failure, then you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Alexia, a Christian mindset coach passionate about teaching moms how to renew their minds to find success both in business and motherhood. You can overcome the negative thoughts holding you back from fully stepping into your calling. I know what it's like to worry your business will never work, to feel mom guilt every time you work on your business, to realize your mindset is hindering you, but not knowing how to change it in a Christ-centered way. I created the Mom with a Calling podcast to teach you how to use the powerful combination of God's Word and proven mindset strategies to help you break free from negative, paralyzing thoughts and gain clarity and confidence to go where God is leading you. As you step out of the old way of thinking and into God's way, you'll find more peace, joy, and purpose. Pop in those earbuds and get ready to let God work in you so He can work through you. All right. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Mama with a Calling podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Anita Anello. Anita helps corporate women of faith in the tech industry who want to break free of corporate life and develop a consulting business by providing spiritual guidance and support as they transition into a new phase of their career. She offers practical advice and resources to help them establish and grow their consulting business, such as tips for building a client base, setting rates, and finding a healthy work-life balance as they work towards their goal of working 20 hours a week while making 2 to 3 times their previous income. That sounds amazing and awesome. Thank you for being here, Anita.
Oh, thank you, Alexia. I appreciate you having me. And it's just so fun to do this together. Like, I love that we serve a very similar audience. We were just talking about that. And that our heart is actually to serve these women of faith that are in this space.
Yes. And we were just saying before we started recording that I just think this is going to be great because you specifically specialize in helping women who are those higher earners, who might be breadwinners, and helping them make those transitions. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts on that because it's a little bit different. I can already tell of how you see their value. And then it's not about, you know, sacrifice and coming over and making a little bit, but to, like you said, continue and prosper. So to start us off, can you tell us a little bit more about your story and how you ended up teaching women in this way?
You bet. Okay. So I was a corporate executive at a global software company, and God kind of got a hold of me. And as I started having kids, my heart's desire was to be able to be at home with my kids. We started homeschooling when I was working full time. In the midst of that, I'll just give you the super high level version. In the midst of that, my husband started working. He went back to work because he had been a stay at home dad, and that didn't always work out super amazing for us in our household. and then as he started working a little bit more, and again, I had this high powered job, but my heart was to be able to be intentionally raising my own kids. And so we went on a journey. Because it was really hard for our marriage, for me to be the breadwinner and then have our faith component in there and wrestle that out on who's really going to be the leader, that kind of stuff. I ended up retiring early at about age 43 to come home and homeschool my kids full time. And the reason that I did that is because I felt like we got to a spot financially where we were ready to make that move, by the way. So I don't ever coach anybody on, just throw it all away and see what happens. Cause I don't think that's really being good and faithful servants of what God's given us. And then about 5 years ago, I just had this stirring inside. I didn't miss many things about my corporate career, but I did miss being a business owner. I previously owned a software company. And so I started dabbling in some different businesses and different ideas. I started an Amazon business, and then COVID hit and all my product was in the warehouses as the world shut down. And I also realized I was not really super suited to have an inventory business because I really loved people. And so, you know, on that journey of figuring out what I didn't want to do and what I did want to do, I ended up starting a coaching business. And my sweet spot is those successful corporate women of faith who have a God-sized idea inside of them and they want to transition over to be able to be entrepreneurs. So we are now at a spot where the business does 3 times what I used to. And let me just be clear, like I had a great salary before and worked about anywhere between like a 60 to 80 hour work week. Now I work about a quarter of that. I have about 3 times the revenue coming into my business and we still homeschool. Because that was the thing that God had always put on our heart and always called us to do. And so we're 15 years running and homeschooling. And I would say one of the things that I'm also really genuinely proud of is I haven't like lost my marriage in the process or any of that kind of stuff, because that happens. That definitely can happen. And I've coached some women through that process where it's just a wrestling, right? We can talk a little bit more about that, but that's where we're at today.
Yeah, no. I love the honesty there of like, that it wasn't necessarily a straight up jump, that you had this financial stuff in place. You know, those things can be important. I homeschool as well. My son's in second grade, so we're just in the beginning. But that is something that a lot of women want to do. Every woman that I talk to wants to be home with their kids in some capacity, even if it's just to take them to the bus or take them to school and pick them up, like just to be available. Like you're saying, the marriage piece can be hard, especially if you leave and you're in the midst of trying to grow that business. So, you know, those financial strains, it's one of the number one issues, right, that can be a problem in marriages. So you talked about, like, you ended up working with women of faith. Did you know that you wanted to do that? Or like, how did your faith come into play along the journey there?
I remember doing things like walking and praying and thinking, God, I want to be able to have a business where I can glorify you along the way. And that is pretty hard when you're under, kind of like the picture that I get, you're kind of like under the thumb of a corporate business. So I had worked for a global company. And so, you know, in the corporate environment, there are genuinely things you can and cannot say. And those, a lot of times, those are really good things. Like, let's be clear. Like, I love a lot of that, but I just had this stirring inside of me is that I wanted to be able to outwardly, regularly glorify God and have a business and figure out a way to bring those together. So for me, what made the most sense is that I would own my own business. And then when I'm pulling in, like what I do in my community is we help women figure out what their specialized knowledge is. That's what we call it. And it's those things that like you do better than anybody else. You're just a rock star and a superstar. Because I believe that as women, we can get to a spot in our life where it's always like this picture that I see. We can be good at hundreds of things. That doesn't necessarily mean I want to build a business around it. Like, I like gardening, but I don't necessarily want to cut somebody else's grass, because so I'm not going to build a business around that. But I'm good at those things, right? So, So being able to help women, one of my sweet spots is being able to help women figure out the specialized knowledge and then put a plan in place. Because part of my corporate career was being an enterprise level project manager and tackling really tough situations where there was usually a lawsuit involved, and you know, there's all sorts of elements of that. But being able to figure out what you want to do and put a plan together and then go after that plan. And, you know, you and I talked to this when we started recording, or before we started recording, is part of that is practical and tactical steps that I have to do. A big part of it is what's going on upstairs in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge shift that sometimes we need to make.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, sometimes some people like the planning, and then some people are like, no, like, I don't want to have the plan. So it's like, it goes both ways. But I just, I love that that is built in, because it's being a good steward of whatever God's giving them to be able to do that. So yeah, one of the things, okay.
Think about it too. Like, God's a God of order. Mm-hmm. So even if I say that I don't like plans, like that's how we actually take step forward. If we're really honest with ourselves about anything that we've been able to accomplish in our life, it took planning to be able to get there. Mm-hmm. It took steps. It took planning. It probably took maybe some coaching, or maybe even some conversations with people that are older or wiser. And you figure those things out. Like, we're not really, as believers, we're not really designed to do everything on our own. We're designed to find community, lock arms with other people along the way, and then follow the steps to be able to walk that out.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, having, like you talked about, doing the specialized knowledge, I like how you're, you know, sometimes we want to, like, I'm a scientist by training.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had no interest in still being a scientist. So, but if I did, that'd be kind of challenging to transition it into some kind of online something. So I love that, you know, there are some people that might really love what they're doing, or like you said, there's something that may be done with the job, but it doesn't mean that the skill that's kind of there that God gave them, to see that as a skill, to see that as a specialized knowledge, just like superpower, if you will, that they can then take and put into a business. So I love that. So one of the things I hear a lot though, from women, I'm sure you do too, is when they're wanting, they have this desire, it normally creeps in. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I was like, I had zero intention of ever being home with my child, homeschooling a bit. None of that was in my plan, but it came out of nowhere. And so when that happens though, there's this fear of failure. Like there's a lot of other fears, but a fear of failure. And so I was wondering if you could talk to us about how fear is important in the process and a stepping stone really to success, and how that's part of the same equation.
Okay. So that, let me share a tiny little bit of backstory. So about a year and a half ago, we had in our household, we had three things happen in about a 6 to 8 week period. We had a major marriage upset. We had a radical medical crisis that ended up with somebody in the emergency room, and my husband lost his job, all in the same little period of time. And that caused me to, like, in for a little bit of time, just being totally transparent, it caused me to, like, shrink back in fear. So I'm a pretty bold person by nature. I love to go after challenging things. So it always surprises me. I don't know why. But when I all of a sudden look around and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually stuck in fear again. So fear causes, for me, I can feel overwhelmed when I'm fearful. I can feel afraid. I can feel small. I can shrink back. I don't want to be around anybody. Like, those are some of the symptoms of fear for me. That's what I notice. So when I start putting pieces together of like, oh shoot, I'm actually walking in fear again, then for me, what I notice is that kind of, I've trained myself to have it be like a trigger point that all of a sudden my mindset goes, oh, wait a minute. I also have people around me who I know, love, and trust that are able to speak into my life going, Anita, that's not you. Where's my normal friend, Anita? Like, so, so I have these systems that are set up, if you will, of for myself, and then all my people will start to look at me and be like, what's going on? What are you afraid of something? Sometimes that conversation can be like, no, I'm not. And then other times I'm like, oh, you're right. I totally am. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like, for me, step one is like, you're made aware that the fear is actually there. Cause sometimes when we're not aware, then we can't really do anything about it. So then once I'm aware that it's fear that's holding me back, then I know that I'm equipped to actually start to take the steps. Sometimes it's a stumble. Sometimes it's a crawl. Sometimes it's something like that. It's not always like a, okay, I got it. Boom, I'm off and running again. It's usually a process for me. So the process of walking through, acknowledging the fear, and then doing the things that I know how to do. Okay, so let's talk about the things that I know how to do when it comes to overcoming fear. For me, and this is wherever anybody's at, like, I'm totally cool with that. I'm just telling you what works for me. I depend on people around me to help me to see that. And then I get down on my knees and on my face, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively, and I cry out to God and I go back to the Word. And then because I've kind of trained myself, Lord, who have you made me to be? Because a lot of times when I'm walking on fear, I just did this, by the way, like last week, I realized, like, oh, shoot. I was just having an identity crisis and I didn't know it. I was walking in something over here where I was like, wait a minute, God, oh, crying out, which is, by the way, it was like a real scenario, like super hard. But what I realized is like, wait a minute, God, you've called me to walk the good walk, even in the midst of fear, because I believe, like you, when I start to have those pieces come together, so then that's the next step for me, is I start to be very aware of what's happening. I start to have my habits kick in again of reminding myself of who I am and what God's called me to and the vision that he's given me. And then actually that courage starts to stir up again. And then I'm actually able to take action, because there's two things that really motivate me and will always cause me to like kick it into high gear. It's either fear or anger. So when I'm afraid and I can acknowledge, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Then in order to overcome this trial, I got to walk right through the fear. That's a habit I've practiced. It's really hard and I don't really like it all the time, but it is. The other thing, as I mentioned, anger will stir me up to that. And I mean that kind of righteous anger that says there is a wrong out there. There's a mom who has a heart's desire to do something else. Mm-hmm. And someone has told her she can't. I hate that. I literally, like, that stirs me up. They're like, are you kidding me? Of course she can. Let's figure out a way to help her do this. Or, you know, being a mom of three, something might happen with my kids. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to kick me into high gear because I need to provide for them to be able to do something different. So those are, for me, those are the two biggest emotions that help like spur me forward. Now, I will be honest. Fear is usually a much longer road than the anger, because when I like all of a sudden I wake up to something that has to be done because something has stirred, like an irritation or something that bothers me, that usually wakes me up a lot faster. Like, oh my gosh, I got to do something different in my business, right? Mm-hmm. I got to do something different in my life. I woke up to something. The fear path is usually a little bit longer for me personally, but it's all good. It's all yeah. ways of being sanctified. And we're like, oh Lord, I don't want to be sanctified anymore. And he's like, oh, little buddy, of course you need to. And then I'm able to look back and go, yeah, that was good. I needed to do that. I appreciate that. I'm so grateful for those trials that come along and help me to mature and to grow.
Mm-hmm. I think when fear, you know, comes at us, like you said, it's, we have options. We hopefully don't turn away from God, but that can be one thing where we just kind of shy away from the whole thing. But I've found myself too, that, you know, when you have something that's fear or shame or something like that, it's like going to God, and usually there's something hidden under there. That's something else that needs to be healed, worked on, you know, like you said, just being sanctified. And so it's preparing you in some way for what's to come. And it never stops. Like, just because you heal it in this phase, when you get to the next phase, it'll come back up again, potentially just in a different way, triggered by a different thing. And you deal with it at a different level when you get there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that anger sort of, and that's what I don't tell people to get angry, but encouraging, no. Like when we, because a lot of times the women that I'm talking to as clients, they'll often feel the fear is so much to move forward, mm-hmm. because honestly, they get focused on themselves, right? Yeah. I'm going to look weird. I have nothing to offer. And I'm like, but if you focus on who you're, like, who is the person that like getting that, the why, if you will, but even more powerful than that, that they are, think about what they're not having, because you have this stuff that can help them. And whatever that is usually what I said, that's the thing that you're called to do, is go help that person. Because when you feel so stirred up about it, it's like, that's it, just that passion, right? That motivation. It's like, when you focus on them, then it's like, I don't care if I look silly on camera. They need to hear what I'm saying. It's not about how I look. They don't care how I look. They care about what I'm offering for them. But just, so I think that's good too, to also use it as a tool to get you moving in the first place.
You know, it's interesting when you're saying that, there's also all these lies. And so as we are able to recognize, no, God's called me to show up as me. Only mm-hmm. Anita can show up the way that only Anita can. Only you can show up the way that only you can. Like, that's what I love about God, is that he just says, just show up. Mm-hmm. Just show up and do it. And don't believe the lies that, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves in the online space especially is that somehow, some way, we're like this millionaire overnight concept. Well, it's like millionaire overnight, but 15 years in the making or something like that. And that's a lie. Let me just be clear for everybody who's listening. Success doesn't work that way. It might work that way in your bank account as an event that happens financially. That can totally happen, but it also diminishes the amount of work that it took to get to that spot. Part of that is overcoming your fear and just going out and doing it and trying it and figuring out. And then you mess up and you learn. And that, like, podcasting, right? Don't you know, Alexia, when you started podcasting, were you totally afraid about what to say, what to do, how to show up on camera?
Yeah. And it's like that. Yeah. But once you build that muscle, basically, it's like, well, I'm just going to do another podcast episode.
Yes. Yeah. And then, and you grow in that. Like, ladies, don't we know everything we've done in life, we weren't very good at when we started, but we grew, we learned, we tried, we made mistakes. I feel like mistakes are some of the best gifts that we, if they're used properly, I think I have learned. I don't always like it in the moment, I'll be honest. But I do know that when I make a mistake and I learn from it, then I can be better the next time I show up. And that's powerful.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, I mean, I guess that's like a, you know, a lot of times women will, that I know I did this. I wanted to know the entire path from where you're starting to the success and everything that's going to happen in between and exactly how it's going to go. And that's part of where planning can kind of get twisted, because then if you don't have all the details, it's like, well, I'm not moving.
Right.
But there's also, like you're saying, there's also like this beauty in this process. And I like talk about the journey and that God's taking you. I call it fuzzy clarity, which is kind of funny, but it's like, he gives you enough to move, but not enough to really know where you're going or how you're going to get there. Cause you need to depend on him to know what's next. It's like that wilderness season. Move when I say move, camp when I say camp. So can you talk about that some though, like not like being okay with not knowing what's next and being willing to move and sort of not seeing all the things they don't know, but, or being okay with what they don't know to be able to move forward anyway.
Yeah. So I host a podcast called The Messy Middle, One Mom's Journey to a Profitable Business, because I believe that that's actually where all the good stuff happens. I don't believe for me in life, I love swimming around and like in the muck and the mire of stumbling forward in my faith and in my business and all that stuff. I think it's so fun to be able to share that transparently instead of the, like the before and the after photos that say I had nothing, then I had everything, and then nowhere in between. That's just not where I swim around. That's not my real life for me. So that's one thing that I love to be able to do. And then to just encourage people along the way. The other thing is just being able to know that as we get, so here's kind of how, this is how my typical day works. I wake up in the morning, and I can think, oh my gosh, I have like 20 things I want to get done today, write them all down and all that kind of stuff. And then I take a pause. Okay. And this is genuinely, I'll start with my Bible study for the morning. That's what I do. Bible study and prayer. Kind of have my list of all the things I want it, that I think I can do that day. Then I'll go for a walk. And in that walk, I will ask the Holy Spirit, what are the one to maybe three things that you want me to do today? Because I feel like as women and working women and homeschooling moms and all these kinds of hats that we wear, there are so many things that I can do at the top of the day. But if I try to do all of them, I'm going to miss out on a whole bunch of stuff because I'm going to be super task driven. And for me, I'm going to miss my people. And God doesn't necessarily call me to do that. What he calls me to do is just take one step forward, to your point earlier. It's, Lord, I don't want to be swept up in just all the tasks, because then by the end of the day, all I am is exhausted. And I did a lot of stuff and I felt like I was super productive, but it might not even be like, maybe 19 of those things, those tasks that I thought I was supposed to do are not even the one thing that's going to help my business move forward. So that's the other part. It's really genuinely, for me, I ask the Holy Spirit, what's the one thing that I need to focus on today? Now, it might be a business thing. It might be a personal thing. It might be a kid's thing. It might be something for my husband. It could be any, because the Holy Spirit has full access to all those areas of my life. So I just want to know, so I don't get overwhelmed and I don't get stuck in fear. What's the next thing that you want me to do? And that has radically helped me, because I feel like today we can pick up our phones or we can jump online and we can see there's hundreds of things that we could be focusing on that could vie for our attention all day long. And instead of saying, oh, that's bad, I'm not going to do any of it, because I don't think that either. It's more like, how do you help me hone down what it is that I'm supposed to be just doing next? And then just trusting God in that, because he's a good God. He's always a good dad to me. He has the right things for me to be able to walk in. And when I trust him and then actually take that step in obedience, well, then there's a blessing that comes with that. So a couple of years ago, I just started kind of asking, like, what's the one thing that you want me to do next? And it might, you know, sometimes again, I might be like, well, maybe 1 to 3 things. Am I feeling super well, if I'm super well rested and I feel like I can do 3 things that day. Mm-hmm. But that's actually helped 2 things. It's helped me have more peace in the journey of struggling through the next thing to do, but it's also helped me to overcome the fear that came from being overwhelmed. Because when we're starting a business, there are literally every day a possibility of hundreds of things that I could be doing. Those don't necessarily mean that they're the right task at the right time. And so it's really helped me like ratchet down that natural tendency that I have to try to do it all at once. And then I exhaust myself in the process, or mm-hmm. I get sick or something like that, or I snap at my kids or my husband and they're all looking at me like, what the heck? I thought, where's our nice mom? Here, come mm-hmm. back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want that. So that's my thing too. I don't want to lose my people along the way while I build a business. I think it's critically important that my people come with me, because that's that's a kingdom-based business. So
mm-hmm. I love the idea of just like you said, surrendering. There's a whole, you said it matter of factly, there's a whole bunch of mindset work that has to be in place to do that, right? Because you have to trust that God is who he says he is, to understand that it's not unwise to sort of, like you said, surrendering your plans. And I often say that many of the things that kind of got us ahead in our careers, because in the career space, you're kind of, it's like, you're driven by your, like what, how much you do, how much you work, how much you bring to the table, and like the plans, it's all kind of on you. And when you come into your own, some of that stuff comes, but it's like, now we're like walking arm in arm with God. And so trusting that it's okay if you don't have your day packed full of stuff, you're listening to him, like you said. So I just love that, surrendering to his plan, and then being okay with if he gives you just one thing, even hearing that. I mean, it's definitely a practice that I've had to do, because I know a lot of women that listen to this podcast are the same way. We like to work. Like mm-hmm. we love to be productive. It's like and sometimes that can come from a negatively rooted thing, but it's a good thing too. Like God gives it to us, like that we're not, sometimes women are called to just be home with their kids. I'm not saying just as in it's less than, I mean, they are completely happy with that as their main thing. That's not me. I love working. And so being able to be okay with going slower and trusting that God's going to work things out with the steps he's giving you. I was just talking to a friend about this and I was like, what if you just did, because she's stuck kind of in this, you know, I need to plan all the things. And I was like, what if you just did whatever's in front of you, whatever is the next thing you're just kind of feeling pulled to do, and trusting that'll be okay. You know, that's that surrender part.
Yeah. Think of how too. I love what you said, because it also helps us. Okay. So let me reframe the conversation. One of the things that my coach helps me do on a regular basis is he says, Anita, what's going to be your definition of success for today? So I could pretend my definition of success is based on customers and revenues and blah, 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 all these KPIs. If you're not familiar with that term, it's key performance indicators. But if you come from the corporate space, you know exactly what a KPI is, right? So our corporate life is always driven by all these KPIs. Those are the metrics that our bosses use to be able to say, you've done a good job, here's your bonus, or not, we're putting you on plan, all that kind of stuff. But it's so different when you are an entrepreneur, because the employee mindset says somebody else is responsible for everything I do. They give me all the rules. I follow the rules. I follow the steps in order to be successful. The entrepreneurial mindset says I'm in charge. Now, I'm in charge can be super freeing, but it can also be a much heavier burden, because I'm in charge. I'm in charge of everything. I'm in charge as a business owner for my team. I'm in charge as a business owner for my clients. I'm in charge as a business owner for setting up the business and all these kinds of things. So What I love about that, though, is that what you just said is, what if I just did the next right thing? Another way to say it is, what's your next right step of integrity that you need to take? Mm-hmm. Right? So then I'm actually weaning out just the junk and say, well, what's my next one step? So sometimes the other thing that I do, this is real practical and tactical. In the corporate space, I found that every day I had to have my punch list of things that I had to do because I was following somebody else's rules. Then as I came home and as a homeschooling mom for many years, just doing that, which is, by the way, that's a big job all on its own. And then transitioning back into being a business owner, I found that I needed to stretch out the amount of time that I gave myself to complete a specific task. Because I'm super task driven, right? If you study like Myers-Briggs or the DISC model of human behavior or anything like that, I'm a high D and a C. So I'm way on the task side, right? And so I can feel still super successful if I just knock off my task list. But what I can have a tendency to do is not spend time with my people along the way because I'm not always people focused. It takes work for me to be super, like even this, to be more real. I love doing it when I do it, but it's not always my go-to thing to think of. I think tasks first. Mm-hmm. So when I had to kind of scale that, I had to kind of reorient that in my mind and say, wait a minute, I want to do both during the day. I want to have all the people time that makes them happy and makes me happy. But then I also want to do the task stuff, which makes me happy. I love tasks, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so that's been really kind of like a fun journey of being able to say, well, how do I bring people along in the process and cultivate that? So now actually what's fun is because I've done that, you know, I can look at my younger kids and be able to have those kinds of conversations, those entrepreneurial-minded conversations. Because to me, being an entrepreneur is not necessarily only how you get paid. It's actually a mindset shift altogether. And it's one of the things that we talk about in my high-ticket mastermind is shifting the mindset away. So I actually believe that you could be an entrepreneur and have the mindset of an entrepreneur no matter how you get paid. I think that it is something that you can do. I can think like an entrepreneur if I'm a W-2 or a 1099 or run my own S-corp or anywhere in between. I believe that it's possible to think like a business owner wherever you work. And so because of that, one of the things that we've always talked about in our household is, well, how do you problem solve? How do you solve without necessarily having all the pieces given to you or whatever, right? And that then we start having these conversations of it. So it's funny because my kids are super trained in an entrepreneurial mindset. They're always thinking, how can I solve problems for somebody else in a way that somebody, you know, look at things a little bit differently. So that's one of those things. I hope that really actually kind of piques somebody's interest who's listening right now or encourages them to take that next step forward on their own journey in shifting their mindset as well.
Yeah, I know it's really important. And it is something, you know, you might hear that term entrepreneurial mindset, but it's a whole different way of thinking. And there's so much that goes into it. And when you start to realize it, it makes things so much easier. And also when you realize, like you said, like having to shift out of employee, which is funny though, because in the beginning you're both. So you kind of got to like take a hat and like switch around a little bit because you can get stuck either way. But it's really important to understand those mindset pieces, especially around money, because mm-hmm. an entrepreneur, like especially when you're by yourself, one thing I talk about a lot is just like the money mindset, because it feels like when you're basically, when you're putting out an offer and it's you, but it's your business, right? If you had a business and it had an offer, that's one thing, but it feels weird when you're like, people feel like they're saying, give me money, give me your money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes and no, right? Putting on your like business hat and seeing it as this, as a business that you're growing, and just having those mindset shifts are really, really helpful. But I want to make sure we cover more of what you do, because you teach women how to create these high ticket offers. So first, can you define what a high ticket is for the audience? And then talk about how to you know, overcome. A lot of times there's the number one lie is going to be, I can never charge that much. I don't have anything of value to offer that to do that. Or like, who am I to charge that much? People actually buy that. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. Okay. So the definition in the online space, the definition of a high ticket offer can be, I mean, I don't know, you can listen to other folks and they'll say it's anything over like $5,000 for whatever the package is that you're selling. So you could put your own number on it. That's okay. Right. But it's several thousand dollars or more, right? So anywhere from $5,000 for the offer or to $100,000, or, you know, I am in a space and around communities where there may be, it's like $100,000 for the high ticket offer. So anywhere in there can, that's why I say it's kind of liberal in the interpretation of what high ticket is. And then you ask the question about, well, what some people call the imposter syndrome and all that kind of stuff. Here's kind of the way that I look at, and I love to coach clients in this manner, is when I show up and do the things that only I can do, well, there's value to that. So I'm not actually selling so much, because I hate selling. I'm not a fan of selling or anything like that, but I do know that I am called to serve. And because I'm called to serve, and I'm called to serve at a very high level, well, then there is a trade-off that happens for my service. Just like when I was in the corporate space, or just now with the clients that I have, like, there's a value that I bring to the table for the expertise that I actually have. So when I walk women through the process of figuring out what their specialized knowledge is, so we help them narrow that down so they figure out maybe the one or two or three things that they're good at better than anyone else. Figure out what makes their heart sing. So they already have the experience and then they're transitioning that over. And so what we find oftentimes is, if I take my normal corporate salary, let's just say for conversation's sake, it's low six figures, and I want to transition that over and I want to serve clients at a higher level, but I'm owning my own business. Well, then wouldn't it make sense that we have the ability to say, now it's all Anita who's bringing the value. It's not the company over here that's bringing the value in a bunch of different ways and the watered down version of Anita, because I'm only giving a slice of myself to maybe thousands of customers. No, what I'm doing is I'm actually giving more of myself to these specialized customers. And so because of that, I actually want to be able to figure out, I want to be able to set up a system where I'm charging more. The other thing that I really focus on in my space is I want this for myself, so I want it naturally for my clients. I love serving women who really have a desire to have both time and money freedom. So to me, if you only get one of those, it's kind of a raw deal, because I could have all the money, but no time freedom. That's not going to help me if I want to spend time with my kids and read them bedtime stories and go out and goof off with them. And then if I only have the time, but I don't have the money freedom, again, that's not necessarily going to do. I mean, I have bills that I have to pay. Like we all need money. There's nothing wrong with money, right? So I'll just put that out on the table. But I want both. I want to be able to work with women who know how to invest in themselves and are willing and want to go after the time and money freedom, because when we get both of those, well, then I can serve at a higher level. And because I'm serving at a higher level, I can bring my rates up. So one of the things that I do is I walk my clients through a perfect day scenario. And just real quickly, looks like this. They journal from sunup to sundown. What does your perfect day actually look like? And it's real granular. It's real specific. We walk through an exercise where they really spend time saying, from the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed in the evening. Now, and then these are all the things that I do. So first you're designing your life, and then you're figuring out, well, what do I need to live on? What's the dollar amount that I need? Because my dollar amount is probably going to be different than your dollar amount, different than Susie Bell's down the road or whatever. And so then I figure that out, and then I divide backwards. I do some quick, simple math that says I'm willing to work. I totally believe as entrepreneurs, we can work 20 hours a week or less. I challenge myself all the time and my clients to see what you can do in 10 or 15 hours. And then put in your dollar amount, and then you start doing some simple math and say, if I had this many hours a week and I want to make this much money a year, how does that work out mathematically? Then you're figuring out your hourly rate. So that's how you're with logic and with wisdom saying, I'm taking what I'm really good at and I'm bringing it to the marketplace to be able to serve clients because people they need what I have to offer. And then I'm figuring out that rate and then I'm working out my offers based on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love, you know, that you walk them through the practical, like it's okay to be practical about that. And to one thing I often share with clients too, is just that this thought that there's often a shift that happens when they want to become an entrepreneur. It's like they're money shy. And I went through this, so I know what it feels like, where it's like, we would never take a job for less than whatever.
Yes.
But when it comes to the business, we're all of a sudden going, oh, that's not okay for me to charge that. And I'm like, God paid you over there.
Yeah.
It's the same God bringing the money now. And they're like, like I said, it takes on this different form of like greed or something. And so I love that you take it and you say, I like what you said about like in the business and in the corporation, that you were being paid a certain amount for your value that was even just a sliver that the customers were getting. And oftentimes I feel like, I mean, I didn't work in a corporate, I worked in more of an academia, but you know, thinking about customers in the first place, maybe you're not even in touch with customers, right? But the company as a whole, but then saying, no, they get all of me. And that does require like this confidence in yourself, knowing that there are things that only you bring to the table, and valuing that and seeing that as like not just something random, but God prepared you for that. I mean, there's so much evidence in scripture, like especially in the Old Testament, where God's like, I've gifted this person in this way so that they can then come forth and they are blessed in that way. They're able to build the temple or the tabernacle or whatever because they have this skill. And like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, like they had the ability to learn. They had wisdom, the ability to just intellectually learn things. Yes. And that got them high up. And it's like we sometimes sort of discount those things as a gift from God. And I believe they are.
Oh,
and
they totally
to look
are.
At it that way and to use in our business.
Absolutely. One thing that we don't quite understand when we transition from the corporate space to the entrepreneurial world as it relates to money too, is we don't quite understand what it takes to financially cover an entire business.
Yeah.
So as an employee, I just get a salary, whatever that number is, it doesn't matter. But my company that I work for takes care of all sorts of other things. They take care of, you know, their taxes, insurance, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Well, when you're an owner, one of the things that you want to pay attention to is that you need to now take care of your taxes and your insurance and your retirement and all that kind of stuff. Well, you need, by the way, you need money in the business to be able to do all those things. Because here's the reality. If I'm going and doing what I love and it's not sustaining my household in the way that I need, number one, I have like a deep-seated need and desire to be a good steward that all that God's given me. So that, while it was a challenge for me, it was maybe not as much of a challenge because I was like, no, God, this is my household. These are the needs of my household. I got to go meet those needs, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the other thing that I would say is that once you start recognizing that in your business, there are certain expenses, if you can't do everything yourself. So like this year I added 2 more team members. And so I need to be able to pay them and take care of certain things for them because I want to be a good steward to not only help them do well in their jobs, but I want to be able to help them provide for their families because they're doing a phenomenal job for me. So sometimes I think we don't think about those pieces. We only think, well, I'm like an hourly wage earner. So maybe I earned $100 before and now I'm going to earn $250 an hour, something like that. And they think, oh, well, that will just cover because I'm making that much more. It doesn't always mathematically work out that way. So we need to be a little bit more, it's wise to be able to get a little bit more counsel around the money topic and figure out what we actually really need. So that can help as well. There's probably somebody out there in the audience that something just clicked for her right then and there because she was thinking, oh, wait a minute. I thought that if I just doubled my hourly rate, then I would make twice as much. Well, it doesn't really work that way when you're owning your own business because there are other expenses that we are now responsible for. and we want to pay them. We want to make sure that the government is happy when we pay our bills and all the other kind of things that we need. So there's more to it. Just, I would just encourage people, like, pay attention to that or get some good counsel along the way. The other thing is, when we, so I did, I have had several businesses, one of which I had, I was at working at a loss, and my husband would regularly say to me, honey, does this really make sense? And I'd be like, but I'm working so hard. I'm doing all these things. And he'd be like, but honey, does this really make sense financially? And I'm like, oh, no, that's okay. The other thing is, when we feel like we're working really hard and we're not making any money, I just want to tell you, there's actually a term for that. That's called a hobby. That's not a business. So I don't mean that I don't mean that disrespectfully to anybody who's in that space. But sometimes we do have to be honest with ourselves and with our family members to say, oh, wait a minute, if I'm going to be an entrepreneur, if I'm going to be a business owner, then I have to have a viable business. So businesses bring profit in. That's the definition of an actual business. So not a break even, right? It's a, we want to build profitable businesses. So I published a book earlier this year that's called The 6-Step Blueprint to Build a Profitable Business. And it helps women walk through that process, because we don't want a business at a loss, and we don't want hobbies. I don't think we necessarily always, you might want more hobbies, but this isn't probably, we're probably not the audience for you.
Yeah. That's not what you're looking for if you're trying to do a business.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. And I can put a link to that. I think you sent that over. So as we wrap up here, if someone is in that corporate job right now and they're wanting to take that step and they're just, they're scared, or maybe they're just not sure what to do, what bit of encouragement or advice would you give them to do next?
I would probably say 3 steps. Number one, figure out what you want to do. Number two, figure out who you're going to serve. And number three, if you need help with some of that stuff, find a coach along the way so that you don't stay stuck. Because we know in the corporate space, we know what it's like when we're in work environments. We know what it's like to be held accountable. And for some reason, sometimes when we jump over to the entrepreneurial space, we can end up being, maybe not even purposefully, but we can be kind of lonely. It can be let me just be clear. The entrepreneurial world can be very lonely, especially when we're trying to do everything on our own. What we want to do is find a group, a tribe around us. That might not be your girlfriends, by the way, because they might not be business owners. So they're not going to give you good advice. They'll give you well-meaning advice, but it's not the same as good advice. But so find a community that you can plug into, and find a coach so you can be held accountable. So that's what we all need. We need that accountability in our daily walk with Jesus, in our marriages, in raising kids. And we need it in our businesses as well, so that we can actually take the steps that it takes to build the profitable business and take steps forward.
Those are good. All right. Where can people learn more about you and connect with you and learn more about what you're doing?
Sure. So you can go to my website. It's therippleeffect.net, and effect is spelled with an A. We'll put a link in the show notes. You can also find me all across social media. It's Anita Anello. I have a website as well. It's anitaonell.com, but the easiest way is go to therippleeffect.net. You can download my free book there. I have a new free time management asset that's coming out later this week. And so look for that as well. And yeah, we just love to be able to connect with other women. It's so fun to be on podcasts with other like-minded individuals. So Alexia, I just want to honor you and appreciate all that you're doing for all the women that you're serving each and every day. I know that you're making a big difference in their lives. And then as a result of that, making a difference in your family's life as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this has been a great conversation, Anita. Thanks for being on the podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Mama with a Calling podcast. As always, you'll find the show notes for today's episode at mamawithacalling.com/podcast. Really quick before you head out, are you loving these episodes? To make sure this podcast gets in the ears of as many mamas as possible, please head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. I'm going to be reading your reviews on the podcast, so I can't wait to hear from you. Also, if you know someone that needs to hear these episodes, grab a screenshot and share it on Instagram. And don't forget to tag me at Mama with a Calling so I can share it in my stories. Until next time, keep pursuing your calling.